Oh my goodness. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to see some folks in here. Good to see the Haybeckers back. Man, y'all went through it for a few weeks with COVID. To be able to see you all healthy is a wonderful thing. Leo's back with us. Good to see Leo. And good to see some all kinds of folks that I hadn't seen in a while. And yeah, it's Sunday morning, man. This is what we do on this day. We worship. Amen. Amen. A few announcements as we get started. The first one is back that mic off a little bit. It's hot. If you're worshiping online, now's a fantastic time to share your prayer concerns or after the next few minutes. At the end of the worship service, we'll have a prayer for the people, and we want to make sure those are included. So if you're online, share your prayer concerns as you're able and want to in the next few minutes. This is our fourth week of the giving thanks from our homes. Rather than having the Thanksgiving a prayer meeting that we normally have, we've just been praying from home. And this week we're asking for prayers for God's sovereignty. God's in control of this. Amen. Like, as strange as things may seem sometimes, as odd as they are, we believe God's in control of things, right? And I'm going to tell a story about that in a few minutes. But we want to be in prayer for that and thanksgiving for that this week, because in the middle of times when we are so confused about what's going on, it is a relieving thought, a comforting thought that knows that God is in control of all this and we're going to get through it. So that's what we pray for this week. And I hope on this Thursday, as you share Thanksgiving with family, or maybe you're distant from family this year, that we can keep that in our minds as we go through it. God's got this, y'all. God's got this. This year we have two ways of giving for our angel trees, or for giving at Christmas. The first way is we have our gift cards for families. We've got about 13, 14 kids that we're going to be helping Santa with this year, and families involved in that. And so we want to make sure that we take care of that. So the way we're going to do that is this. If you go online, there's a website called signupgenius.com. And you go on that website and you search for JenkinsChurchOutreach@gmail.com. Now, that's going to be put on our website in a few minutes. Just right now, that's being put in the comments right now. So if you want to go back, those are in here to find it. You can go into Facebook or YouTube and find out on our website. If you're online, look in the comments now and you can see how to do it. But you sign up and you give a gift card to the church based on how much you would spend for a child, right? So whatever you would get for that child, just a gift card for that much, we're going to bring that together, put it together. Jackie's going to get all that together, and we're going to make sure that Santa's able to be helped out to help the children out this year. So that's what's going on, and I hope that you're able to contribute to that. But like I go, signupgenius.com, JenkinsChurchOutreach@gmail is what you search for. So that's how we do that. The second way, and I saw somebody with blankets a few minutes ago on the way in. I'm not going to call them out, but thank you so much. We're getting batteries and blankets to go to our gift bags for the homeless this year through the burrito ministry. So if you're at the store and you want to grab some blankets or some AAA batteries, is that right? AAA batteries. We'll put those in the gift bags for our friends in the streets, and then one Monday night very soon, Suzanne and I and some others will hand those out and make sure we provide Christmas gifts for our friends there. So those are the two ways this year we can help in providing and helping with Christmas for other people, and I hope that you're able to contribute. If you have any questions about those, find Jackie, find me, call the office. We'll make sure that you're able to contribute in it however you choose to. So that's what's going on there. The other thing is, some people have asked to see if we can make, before the end of the year, an effort to pay off about $28,000 left on the church. That's all we got. It was 160-something thousand or 130-something thousand just a couple of years ago, and we've whittled it down to 28,000, give or take. So if you want to participate in that, you can give online, you can give here in the offering box, and just put on it building fund, and we'll know that that's going toward paying off the church. Because once we do that, we suddenly have resources free to be able to do a whole lot more other stuff rather than giving money to the bank. So that's the other way to give. So those are the things going on this month, the next 2 months really, in the church. And if you have, like I said, if you have any questions about those things, let me know and we'll talk through them. Is there anything else going on in the church that we need to talk about? Is there anything? There is one thing. Yes. So we're not sure the date yet. Either the 20th or 27th, we believe. we're going to have a Christmas program after all. We didn't know how we were going to do it this year, but we pulled it off, so we're going to have a Christmas program. And what we need are people that would love to sing a solo, a duet. I'm looking at a few people right now that do some singing, making sure they feel the good Christian guilt about participating, and would love for you all, for us to put together. James is going to record it, have them where we can play them in the Sunday service, and have one Sunday where we just celebrate with people singing the music that we've, you know, come to love all these years. So that's coming, and if you want to participate in that, if you want to sing Leonard, talk to James, and it will be absolutely beautiful when we do this. So that's coming up. Are there any other announcements? Anything else going on?
Can I say something on that, Jason?
Please.
If y'all want to participate in this as well, and you're not in the choir, it's okay. You can record it from home and send it in. I just want to incorporate us singing, which we haven't been able to sing since March.
Yep.
And it'd be nice to sing in some capacity where we could all see it.
Yep. So coming up very soon, and if you want to be a part of that choir or not, talk to James. We'd love to hear some youngins sing. I know there's one that's sung before. So anyway, that's what's going on. Are there any other announcements? If not, would you please stand for our call to worship? It comes from Psalm 100. It's the whole psalm. It's a very short one, and I absolutely love this psalm. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, one of the reasons that we come into this place is that we are thankful for you. We live in this world and we see you working and we see you doing and we see you acting and we see God's people doing the things that you've called them to do, and it amazes us, and we are in thanks that you would allow it to be so. So in this week of Thanksgiving, Lord, recognize that every Sunday morning we come in thanks. Every Sunday morning we arrive in this place simply to say thank you for who you are. And then we're thankful, Lord, that we don't have to do just that. That we don't come in with just an attitude of thanksgiving, but that you call us into the world in an attitude of thanksgiving. That we get to live in this world as you called us to live, because you are the one that called us to do so, and it is good. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the chance to come in here and worship, and thank you for allowing us to go into the world and worship by helping others and living with others and being in community and all the good things that you provide us. So, Lord, as we sit in the worship service today, as we hear songs and as we sing under our breath, as we pray, as we do all of these things that we'll do, we just ask that you remind us over and over and over what it means to be thankful for you, because we never want to miss it. Lord, we thank you for this day. And all of God's people said, amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you all so much. Philip's out today. He's been quarantining just in case. Abundance of caution. See, I'll keep him in your prayers. He's fine, but just keep him in your prayers. But he's not playing guitar today for that. So.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified,
They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Suddenly we're connected, right? Like we're, and if you need a shoulder to cry on, and I provide you that, then we're connected, right? There's something about this idea of giving that ties us close together. So this week the most amazing thing happened. It was a heartbreaking thing, and then out of that came great beauty. Jane Clemens, Julie Birdsong's sister, y'all know her. She was over. Bless her heart, at the cemetery, at her daughter's grave, shaping it up, making it look nice, and doing that. And a woman pulled up, and the woman was looking for John Post. I believe he sells the funeral plots there at the cemetery. And the woman hadn't been able to get a hold of him, and she was in bad shape. And Jane happened to have my number in her phone. She said, let me call somebody and see if I can get you connected. So it all happened. And come to find out, The woman had moved here a couple of months ago. Brenda had moved here a couple of months ago with her husband. They were looking for a house because her daughter lives here. They were staying in a nice extended stay hotel while they were looking. He got sick, came out of rehab, but just about a week or two later, passed away in his sleep there right beside her. They moved here for a house, you feel me? And then this terrible thing happened. Well, they didn't know who to turn to. They didn't have a church here. They, you know, it was just a tough situation. And sorry to have my mic on. I hope you heard any of that. My apologies. So she came by with her daughter and granddaughter and stuff, and we started talking. And she said, "Would you mind doing the funeral?" I didn't know the man. Keith was his name. I didn't know him, but absolutely. And so I helped her in that moment, right? And then she started returning favors to me by us kind of getting into a friendship and talking. And I talked to their family. And all of a sudden, this little community formed. And I texted with her yesterday. I just let her know we're thinking about you and praying for you at the church and that sort of stuff. And she just replied about how much she appreciated the friend. And we recognized how in this giving to one another, this community formed, right? Just out of nowhere, it happened. That's the beauty of gifts. That's the beauty of caring for one another and helping one another out and giving our gifts of time and our resources and all our kindness and people giving that to us, is that a whole new community is formed. And it's absolutely gorgeous because it was done in the name of God. Amen. So this week, I hope that you think of gifts that way. As you go through your days, as you go through your things that you're doing, see if the communities form as we give to one another, because when it does, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I pray that that happens for you over this week. So anyway, that's my story I wanted to tell. Also remember that as part of our prayers right now and our gifts, that we're praying for one of our day school classes. And that day school class this week is Miss Tina and Miss Emily's baby class. These are the little bitty ones, and they're precious because they come down the hallway in the little things right there, one after another, and it's just awesome to watch. Wade, Will, Leo, George, Finn, Reagan, and another Leo. We need to be praying for the little young ones this week. So as you go to God in prayer, lift these little tykes up, and Tina and Emily as well, as they lead them. Let's go to God in prayer again. Gracious God, we thank you that we get to give. We thank you, God, that we get gifts given to us. And we thank you, God, that these communities form as we care for one another. We thank you, God, that it lifts us up and it lifts others up. And somehow that community forms, and it's such an absolutely beautiful thing. We thank you, God, for that. And we thank you that as you give to us and we give to you, that same relationship forms, Lord. So we ask that you just show us how to do that this week. Show us how we can give and receive gifts. Show us how we can give to you by giving to others. And show us what it looks like when it's done well. We ask these things in your name, and God's people said, amen. I want to read from you Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I will admittedly say, could you drop me a little bit? I got a hot mic here, if you could. Sorry. Matthew 25 is 31 through 46. This is, like I said, admittedly my favorite scripture in all of the Bible. And it reads this way: "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, that you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. And then he will say to those on his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. I had minor knee surgery a long time ago. My knee would hurt, it'd get bad for a while, and then it'd get better, and then it would start hurting again, and it just kind of went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I went to the doctor about it, because we men are stubborn like that. And they took ultrasounds, and they did the MRIs, and took all kinds of pictures to try to figure it out. And finally, they came up with a verdict. I had torn the meniscus just a little bit, not much, but it would heal up, but not enough, and it'd tear again and back and forth. And the doctor said, you know, you could keep doing that if you wanted to, but someday you're going to rip it really bad, and you're going to be in much worse shape. He said, so why don't you come in, and we'll do surgery, we'll fix it up, we'll do a little nip and a tuck here and there, and in a few days you'll be off crutches and you'll be fine. And so that's what we decided to do. We scheduled a day, we took a little vacation time, we woke up early on that day, went to the outpatient clinic out by Hermitage, I believe, the hospital out there. We checked in, sat down, and waited for the name to be called, and then went on back. They gave me one of those very fashionable robes to wear, the one where you show too much business on your backside. Nobody paid attention to that, though, and they were hustling around like they do in those places, and I was laying in bed anyway. And so 10 different people came in and checked on me and asked me the same 7 questions that the last 10 people asked me, and I answered dutifully. So finally the doctor came in. He made small talk for a second. I introduced him to Suzanne. And then he said, all right, we're going to fix you up and get you going. And I thought we were done. And so I laid my head back on the pillow, ready for them to knock me out and get me going. But then he said something that took me off guard. He asked me a question that the rest of them hadn't asked me. He asked, now, what are we doing on you today? I thought that was an interesting question. I thought he might have had that information handy somewhere. I thought for a second, because I figured this must be some sort of joke, but I couldn't figure out the punchline. And so I said, you're going to fix my meniscus, right? And he said, oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And then he asked me another question. He said, now, which knee are we going to fix? I thought maybe this was a trick question. But it seemed an odd time for a trick question. And I stared at him, and I pointed to it. And he said, oh, yeah, we're going to do your left knee. And I said, yeah. And he said, okay. And then that's when he took a Sharpie out of his pocket. And he put yes on my left knee with a check mark. And then he went over to my other knee and he wrote no and he put a X on it. I looked down at my legs. I looked up at him and I wondered where he went to medical school. So I asked him, I said, why'd you do that? Well, come to find out that was a dumb question and I'll blame it on the pre-op drugs. But he replied with a dumb answer. He said, it's so I don't cut off the wrong knee. All right. And suddenly that made a lot of sense, right? You know, you hear every so often about somebody getting surgery and they do the wrong body part. And I guess if everybody would have followed what this doctor did, then it would have saved a few folks from getting the wrong knee cut on, right? Or it's actually pretty smart. It's a simple safeguard to make sure he's doing exactly what he ought to be doing once he gets to business. And as a man on the table, I sort of appreciated that after I asked. Because you see, if he'd have come in and just assumed that he knew, if just from memory or from his own recollection, he might cut on the wrong knee sometime. He might do shoulder surgery when he was supposed to work on an ankle. He might have gotten off track and not done what he needed to do. But he fixed that. He asked me specifically what the problem was and which knee it was. And then he wrote it down in very easy and simple words. Can't miss. Obvious as can be, so that he would do it exactly like he was supposed to. Maybe you get my point already. I think that's what this scripture is. It's not subtle, this scripture. It's not complex. Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. I mean, say what you want, but you know. There's a lot of parables and stuff in scripture that take some effort to understand. I mean, you know, study Isaiah or study Revelation, right? We can study the Bible all our lives and know that we're going to get something new every time we go through it. We know that. We've studied the parables for 2,000 years and are still trying to figure the point out to some of them. And that's a beautiful thing about the faith. I'm not griping. It's fascinating because there's no end to what we can learn. Every day is unique, and every day living in the faith is unique. Every day there's more of God to discover. You know, it's kind of like medicine, I guess. Doctors are always finding out something new about the human body, right, COVID? But then sometimes we forgo the complex and we whittle things down to the simple stuff. We whittle it down to write it on the knee stuff, the things that we never want to miss. Sometimes we just got to remember those things that we don't dare ever mess up, and that's what this scripture does. It doesn't speak in parables. There's no guessing at what Jesus meant in this. It just tells us what we know that we need to know so that we can't miss it, unless, of course, we choose to. It's right there written down. It's a check mark on one side and an X on the other. I used to have an employee that would get mad at me when I'd say this. When he'd be griping about something, and I'd just turn to him. I was like, dude, it is what it is. And he'd get so mad at me. But it is what it is sometimes. We heard the scripture. It's pretty easy. It's going to be a judgment, and ain't nobody going to be left out of it. Now, I don't preach a lot on judgment. I don't do that because I got too many questions about it. But this still says what it says. It still is what it is. And I, for one, don't even think we should be scared about judgment either, because the truth of the matter is, when the judgment comes, the world will be set right for all time. And praise God for that, especially if I get to be a part of it. So on one hand, there will be people that Jesus called sheep. These people are the ones who care for the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger and the sick. And I don't remember them all now. That's who they are. They are the sheep. And so next time somebody calls me a sheep for caring about people, I guess I'm going to say, bah. Because the sheep are the ones who will inherit the kingdom. And I just soon inherit the kingdom. We all want to be in God's will. Amen. But on the other hand, there are such things as goats, Jesus said. And they won't have done these things. They won't have visited the prisoner and welcomed the stranger or whatever else. They won't have done that kind of thing. It's not a checklist, right? It's just that kind of stuff. It also includes that stuff, but it's this kind of life. And the goats, well, they're going to get cut out of the will. And there is nothing in this world that's good that's outside the will of God. And that's really this scripture, right? There's no hemming and hawing. There's no proverb for us to argue about. There's no confusing teaching that we have to preach on 5,000 times before we understand it. There's just Jesus saying what he thought. And I, for one, think that's awesome. I like scriptures I don't have to figure out. There's two ways of being. One of them is godly and the other one isn't. And I can understand that, man. Even I can get that. Now, I'd end the sermon there, but there is a pretty awesome plot twist in the middle of the story, isn't there? Did you see? I love a good plot twist. If you're giving me a movie with a plot twist, I'm going to watch it. And here it is. Here's the plot twist. If you're looking for Jesus, if you were going to go out right now, like leave this place and go out looking for Jesus, where would you go? Maybe you would come in the church house to find Christ. That's good, because I do. Maybe you would go to a big cathedral like Notre Dame before it burned up. Some might pilgrimage to Jerusalem or go to Galilee or not. Maybe you would have gone out in nature and found God in a tree or a hawk above your head. Cool. Me too. I get that. But would you have gone out to the back alley? Would you have gone to prison? Would you have gone to the COVID ward to find Christ? Would you go to the soup kitchen? I would have never thought to do that. Who would ever think to look for a king there? We don't normally look for kings among the people that we don't want to associate with. I'm just trying to make sense of this, y'all. One time he was hungry. Remember that? He was with 5,000 of his closest friends out in the middle of nowhere. There are a lot of people around, but that's a lot of people for a side of a lake in Galilee. It's not like there were restaurants and fast food joints and an Aldi, y'all, thankful for that, an Aldi around the corner. But Jesus was there. Jesus was parched once, a weary traveler coming to a well to meet a Samaritan woman who showed up. And before it was over with, she quenched his thirst, remember? And then he provided the living water so that she would never thirst again. Jesus was there. He was thirsty. Wasn't the Jesus a stranger one time? Didn't he run off with his mom and dad to Egypt to escape Herod's death squads? Wasn't Jesus a prisoner? Wasn't he arrested? And wasn't he charged with crimes against the state and to his religion? And wasn't he flogged for it? Wasn't Jesus naked as they mocked him? And they spit on him? And they literally gambled for his clothes? He was naked on the cross, wasn't he? Vulnerable and alone? Jesus was there. And maybe he wasn't sick, but he was hurt. And then he was dead, which is worse than sick. And he spent 3 days in the grave. He was all those things in his life that are in this scripture. It's not just talk. It's who he was. And when we do it for any of these, we've done it for him. I'll be honest with you. That makes me want to go hug some people I've never thought about hugging before. Because I might just be hugging Jesus Christ. Let me say this. I'm too much of a Presbyterian to believe that we can earn favor from God. I don't think we can ever do enough to earn the good judgment that we hope to receive when God comes back in his glory. I don't think we can earn our salvation, for we can never do enough to earn something as great as that. I am a good Presbyterian in that way. I do not believe in works righteousness any more than Paul believes in it. But that doesn't change the proof of this scripture, which is that there is something about being part of the faith. There's something about being a member of the kingdom of God, being a responsible child of God, that causes us to exist in this world in a different way, with different rules, among different folks than we humans ever really want to be around. There's something about the faith that flips this whole world upside down so much that we can find Jesus and find the blessings and of judgments as we serve in this world the one that we never knew could be a part of Jesus Christ. That is the straightforward and weird truth of this scripture. It's like that yes on the knee. It's weird, but you can't miss it. And that's the point. And church, I think this morning that's enough reason for us to praise God, by the way. I don't think judgment here is something that ought to make us worry. I don't think Jesus was telling us something, get us all bent out of shape, wondering if we've done everything we need to do to be on the right side of this equation. I don't want us to take a life-giving scripture and have it scare the life out of us. I thank God that God gave us a way to see what it looks like to become heirs to the kingdom. I thank God that we don't have to guess what it looks like to follow our Savior. I thank God it is clear as a bell and we can't miss it. We don't have to wonder what we're supposed to be about. We don't have to be concerned that we won't ever figure it out and we won't ever understand the Proverbs or what Jesus wants for us. I praise God because we don't have to make up our salvation as we go. Because Jesus made as clear as a bell when he prophesied that there will be sheep and there will be goats. One's got a check mark and one's got an X. There we go. I praise God that there will be a judgment. I praise God that at some point all of creation will be set completely right once and for all. And I praise God that we are told in this scripture what's at the essence of that judgment. It isn't a puzzle. God lined it out as clear as can be, so that means we can get ready for it. We can make a decision where we stand. I love this thought. We don't have to wonder if life matters, y'all. We know it does because Jesus just said it matters, and we know what it looks like when it matters. And so I praise God that there is judgment. For someday all of this will be right. And we can be a part of its faithfulness when we are in faith to Jesus Christ. That is the simple point of the scripture. And I praise God for it. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. We have one more beautiful song by our fantastic duo today. We're missing Wes up here, but he'll be back next week as well. Thank you all so much for leading us in music.
without him I'd surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Without him I would be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
And her father, Dick Newberg. Teresa Franceskin's son, PJ, is in quarantine. I think he and Nick live together. I think that's what's going on there. No COVID at this time, so they're struggling. Mary Floyd, her sister and husband, Paul and Shelby Ward. Joy Wilker has asked for prayers for Chelsea Burleson, a four-month-old with COVID. As a parent, I can imagine. Sharon Gardner's asked for prayers for brother-in-law Chuck Simpson, who's having back surgery. Carl Brenneman is asking prayers for Andrew, who has COVID. Barb Smith is asking for prayers for her sister-in-law Sue and daughter Emma, both who have COVID, and prayer that her brother Larry does not catch it. COVID, y'all, is absolutely everywhere right now. Please, please, please be careful. Interesting and tough days. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Suzanne? Boop. That's Cynthia Lucas. She's been on our prayer list, repeats for those online, has been on our prayer list for a long period of time now and is not doing well, and it's heartbreaking. She and Suzanne are great friends, but she's also just a really amazing person and has a lot of friends. So we need to lift Cynthia and all her family up in our prayers. Are there other? Beth, y'all know Beth. I talked to her about her last week, that she had been jumped on the streets of Philly and concussion and all kinds of stuff. So we need to be in prayer for Beth.
My brother,
Gary. Yep. Gary walked her.
Had an episode this week and tried to rule out that it was a stroke.
Yeah. Something was going on. I think it might have been a stroke. Yeah, so we're praying for Gary walked her. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, sir. Pray for prayers for Timothy. Absolutely. Absolutely, prayers for Timothy. You know what? That's a great point. You and I were talking about this on the way up here. You know, a lot of us have been praying about this COVID. Amen. I hope more people have been praying and said amen, because I've been praying for. I hope you've been praying for it. Like, that's been something on my mind. We got two vaccines, y'all. They're like 90-95% effective, and that, I'm gonna call that a miracle if that's okay, because that's tremendous. They weren't even thinking it was going to get close to that. And so thankful to scientists and doctors who are doing amazing work right now. So that, you're exactly right. That needs to be a joy, brother. I think I saw somebody in the back, maybe, that, or it might have been Bradley's hand that popped up. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up all of these situations. We lift up for Cynthia Lucas, Lord. We just ask for blessings in that situation, whatever manner that you will bring them and what you find right and good. For Beth, we ask for healing, and for Gary and as well, and Timothy. And Lord, for Nick, for Dave, and for Dick, we ask, Lord, that you give them peace and healing and all the things that are of you. For PJ, we ask for a lessening of anxiety, if that's what he's dealing with as he's struggling in quarantine. For Andrew, Lord, we ask for healing as well. And for all those that Barb mentioned, Sue and Emma, and that the others don't catch it, we pray for that. We pray for Paul and Shelby Ward, for Chelsea Burleson, the child, yes, but her parents too, who are going through and watching their child with COVID. And for Chuck Simpson, Lord, we lift him up as he deals with back surgery. These things we bring to you, Lord, because we don't know where else to turn. And all those things that are heavy on our hearts that we don't say out loud, Lord, we turn them over to you now, because we recognize that goodness can come. Like this vaccine, Lord, we know that the goodness is always around the corner. And so we peek around looking for it all the time, waiting for it to get here. And Lord, when it is here, when those prayers have been answered, when we do have comfort and healing and peace and patience and lessening of anxiety and all those things, when that happens, Lord, when we see that, it causes us to look again to see what else is coming. We thank you, God, so much for that. And so then as we leave this place, as we go out of here, we ask that you continue blessing us in the answering of prayers, Lord. We ask that you do this because we find great comfort in knowing that you are there doing your thing. And Lord, we pray all of this in your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear the benediction. Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in whatever else I say, because I can't ever remember them all. But just know, man, that Jesus is out there sometimes in the strangest of places. And Lord, release us from here, but never from you. And God's people said, amen. So good to see everybody again. You all, please, please, please be safe. I love y'all too much to see y'all getting sick. God bless you all. Bye-bye. See everybody online too. See y'all.